Genesis chapter 8, let's stand together if you're able to stand. We'll read responsively to we'll read the text responsively. I'll begin in verse 1, and again, we'll stop at verse 19. So if it's your turn to read and verse 20 comes up, don't start. That's a little embarrassing. You know that goes. So. Anyway, Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. The waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month,
upon the mountains of Ararat.
The waters decreased continually until the tenth month. In the tenth month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. Always send the females out first, right? I'm sorry. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. The dove came into him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. It came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dry. God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his sons' sons with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark.
Amen.
What a story.
Amen.
You ever wonder what it was like stepping off that ark and looking around? Interesting.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, I need you tonight.
Yes, Lord.
We need you tonight.
Amen.
Lord, I ask for a fresh filling of thy spirit this evening. And Lord, I pray that you'd use your word this evening to touch the hearts of people. Lord, teach us things that would help us wherever we are in our lives. Whether we're just starting out in the Christian life, whether we've been saved for some time, or perhaps the senior saint here tonight. Wherever we are in this journey, Lord, I pray that you'd help us understand.
Amen.
This one requirement we have found in this text, I believe, in the life of Noah. To live the Christian life. And so please teach us things this evening. Again, guide and direct my thoughts and my words this evening. May everything this evening be pleasing to thee. And Lord, again, I do pray, as we usually pray together, that if there's someone here today that is not saved, Lord, convict their heart, draw them to thee, and may they trust Christ as Savior tonight. Lord, it'd be so, so sad if someone sat through service after service, not knowing you as Savior, and dying and going and entering into a Christless eternity. And so I pray that you'd move as only you can move tonight in the heart. Do the work that I cannot do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Appreciate you standing. In Genesis chapter 7, that's the previous chapter, we find the biblical record of what I would say is God's greatest single act of judgment to date upon the earth.
Amen.
God brought upon this earth a worldwide, essentially civilization-destroying, of course we understand, save eight people and two of every kind of animal, flood.
Amen.
Imagine that. The earth, which had possibly billions of people, certainly at least 750 million, was reduced to eight.
Amen.
Just like this front row. You all made it, amen? Sorry for the rest. I'm just kidding. Do you know that every one of us, and this is a little side note here, every single one of us, listen closely now, can trace our lineage back to Noah.
Amen.
You ever think about that? We're all brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We're all related. This idea of this race and this race and this race does not exist in the Bible and in the mind of God.
Amen.
According to Acts chapter 17, there's one race.
Amen.
And that is the human race.
Amen.
Yeah, we're all a little different. Some of you are real different. I know you're thinking the same thing about me. But we're all related.
Amen.
His sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, departed from that ark. Maybe we'll talk about this later. Migrated to different areas of the world and reproduced and did exactly what they were told to do by God. They were fruitful and they multiplied.
Amen.
Hence what we have today. 7+ billion people. All that happened in a matter of 4,000 years. You say, is that possible? Very easily possible.
Amen.
Do the math. It's not difficult. But we know that for 80 years, this man Noah, he warned mankind through his preaching that God was going to judge mankind by a flood because of their sin. Genesis chapter 6 tells us that God looked upon the earth and he saw that the wickedness of man was great and every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. And God had enough, if you will, and chose to judge this world by a flood.
Amen.
But God would give him a way out.
Amen.
God, as he always does, left an open door, if you will, in this case an ark door. He provided a way of deliverance for anyone who would simply repent, but those that who would not repent would be judged by God, having to learn the truth the hard way, the biblical truth of this, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Amen.
I don't want to learn that the hard way.
Amen.
And after 80 years of building and preaching and building and preaching and building and preaching, finally the day came where God told Noah, get on the ark.
Amen.
And he did.
Right.
And when that ark door closed, no one else could get on. That was it.
Amen.
And the rain came, and Genesis chapter 7 describes in detail, as we looked last week, of this flood, that it was on the second month, 17th day, that this flood began, according to Genesis 7 and verse 11. For 40 days and for 40 nights, there was a torrential downpour of rain. We kind of understand a little bit about rain lately around here.
Amen.
The rain came down. The windows of heaven, that canopy, if you will, was released by God. And the fountains of the deep, according to the Bible, were broken up. And for the next, after the 40 days and 40 nights of rain, for the next 150 days, 5 months, Noah and his family, along with a big boat full of animals, would be floating on the water, waiting for God's next move. Do you know that this time was still a great trial for Noah and his family? Do you know that it was still a time that required faith?
Amen.
Because everything in the Christian life requires faith.
Amen.
And so tonight I'd like to park a little bit on that thought and on that subject. And I want to preach on the subject, Noah, a man of faith.
Amen.
Would that describe you and me? Would your life, would my Christian life, and I like to say, I want it to be that way.
Amen.
But is it in reality, is my Christian life, is your Christian life a life of faith?
Good.
I hope that all of us understand tonight that we're saved by faith.
Amen.
That's very important.
Amen.
We are saved by faith.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 11, 6, and if by grace, then is it no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. In other words, you can't combine grace and works. It's either grace or works.
Amen.
We're not saved by our works, we're saved by grace. Through faith, and understand we're saved by faith, but there's an object of our faith, and that object of our faith is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Some people have faith in faith. They say, well, I just believe. I just believe it's all going to work out. I have faith. That's not the faith of the Bible that saves
right.
you.
Right.
There must be an object of our faith, and it must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not get to heaven by our works. We do not get to heaven by our good deeds. We do not get to heaven through our religion or our baptism or our church membership. The only way to heaven is by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you exercised that faith in Christ? Was there a time in your life that you recognized that you were a sinner, lost, and on your way to hell? And that Jesus Christ died for your sins, paid for your sin debt in full on the cross of Calvary, and you repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you done that?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
If you have not, then you cannot get to heaven otherwise.
Amen.
But the good news is you can do that tonight.
Hallelujah.
You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Don't leave this place without getting that settled. Take care of it immediately.
Amen.
Before it's eternally too late.
Right.
So we understand that we're saved by faith, but understand we must equally understand that the only way to live the Christian life is by faith as well. That's where we struggle. We say, well, I'm saved. I know the Lord. I've been saved. I've trusted Christ as Savior. Great. That's wonderful. But now we're in this journey called the Christian life.
Amen.
How are you and I going to have victory in this life? How are you and I as believers going to have victory in this world? There's only one way. It's by faith.
Amen.
We read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Amen.
We must live by faith. There's a third thing about faith, and this is not your sermon tonight. It's extra, no charge. Amen. It's freebie. And that is the only way to please God is by faith.
Amen.
That's it.
Right.
You mean I don't please God by my works? I don't please God by what I do? Not necessarily if there's no faith behind those works.
Amen.
It is a faith that is beyond those works that pleases God. Yes, faith produces works. And it's a faith that pleases him. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God wants me and you to live by faith.
Amen.
Now, there's no doubt in my mind that Noah was a man of faith.
Amen.
I believe that. Matter of fact, when you look at the great faith chapter, the great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, guess who we find there? Who would have guessed? Noah.
Amen.
Hebrews 11, 7, we read, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Of all the people in the Word of God, of all the people in the world that God could have chose to place in Hebrews chapter 11, Noah was one of them.
Amen.
One of those few. that live by faith.
Amen.
Not to say if you're not in there, you didn't live by faith. But God shone the light upon his faith. You know, so often when we think of Noah's faith, we think of the faith that it took to live for God in a world that was filled with wickedness. And by the way, that did take faith.
Amen.
As Noah was there in Genesis chapter 6, and the evil was all around him, and the wickedness was all around him, and here was a man that found grace in the eyes of God and lived, the Bible says, a perfect life, mature Christian life, if you will. And his life pleased God. No doubt it took faith to do that.
Amen.
Then when God came to him and said, I want you to build this ark, and here's what I want you to do. I'm going to judge this world, and I want you to build this boat.
Amen.
And he did.
Amen.
That took faith as well.
Then
as he was building for those some 80 years, if you will, preaching to people who would not listen, preaching to people who didn't care, and they probably mocked this man, that took faith as well.
That's right.
Tonight, I'd like for us to think of a different time in Noah's life. When he's sitting on that boat, and the eerie quiet was all around him. All that he heard was the lowering of cattle, the noises of the animals, the sloshing of water up against the side of the ark for 5 months.
Amen.
That took faith, my friend.
Amen.
That took faith. You see, Noah knew some things beforehand. He knew that God was going to send rain. He knew that. He knew that God was going to send a flood. He even knew the amount of days that flood would last, 40 days and 40 nights. He knew that God would do that. But he had no idea how long he was going to be on the ark.
Amen. That's right.
No idea. And we'll see tonight that he needed as much faith to get off the ark as he did when he was getting on the ark.
Amen.
What an example this man was.
Amen.
What a challenge. What a challenge we have.
Praise the Lord.
By this man's life. Tonight I want us to look at what happened here in these 19 verses and see some characteristics of Noah's faith while he was on that ark. And ask ourselves, do we have that kind of faith? Are we living, truly living the faith life? Let's notice characteristic number one that a man of faith has. First of all, Noah trusted in God's care.
Amen.
He trusted. Notice how we read in verse 1, and God remembered Noah.
Amen.
And every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged, the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. For 150 straight days, Noah was floating on the water. You know, it's interesting that during this time, God had spoken to Noah before about some things, but really during this time, chapter 7 ends this way, that the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days, but we do not read of God saying anything to Noah. We don't see that. We do not read of God confirming anything to Noah. He doesn't say, Noah, by the way, here's a little something for you. Not much longer, Noah. Just a few more days. He doesn't say that. There's no words of encouragement. There's nothing. It's almost as if there's a holy hush upon his life for 5 months.
Amen.
But notice what we read, the very first verse. We read, and God remembered Noah.
Amen.
Now, mind you, this phrase is in no way indicating that somehow God had forgotten Noah.
Right.
It wasn't like God was in heaven and said, oh yeah, I forgot about him. Oh no, there he is. He's been floating all this time. Oh, I was so busy. Because God didn't forget.
Amen.
The word remember simply reminds us of God's compassion for and faithfulness to Noah.
Amen.
Thomas Whitelaw in the pulpit commentary wrote this: the word remembered is designed to indicate divine compassion. What he's really saying is here is God didn't forget Noah. That's what he's telling us. He's saying, I did not forget this man, even though time has passed, even though I haven't said anything to him for a while, I did not forget him.
Amen.
Kind of reminds me of what God said about the children of Israel in Egypt. Where in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24, after 400 years of bondage, can you imagine them being in bondage for all those years? Wondering, did God forget us? And we read in 2:24 of Exodus, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham. What God is telling us here in Genesis chapter 8 is this, is he knew exactly what was going on in Noah's life. He knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly how long he was on the ark, and he knew everything that Noah was going through. Our God had an eye on Noah every single step of the way, and Noah believed that. Do you? You see, a man of faith trusts in God's care.
Amen.
A man of faith remembers that no matter what's going on in his life, no matter if he's praying and it seems like the heavens are brass above him, he knows that God has not forgotten me.
Right. Amen.
You know, often when you and I are in the midst of, well, maybe I should say me, in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a difficulty, in the midst of darkness, we have the habit of thinking God forgot us. Oh, maybe not at the beginning of the trial. We can last for a little bit, but when that trial drags on and on and on and on, we tend to think, Lord, don't you see my troubles? Lord, don't you hear my prayers? God, where are you?
Amen.
Or like the disciples on the ship. When they went out and Jesus was in the bottom of the ship or the boat and he was sleeping, and as they're going across the Sea of Galilee and the storm came and it was raging upon them, and they thought, what's going on here? And they ran down to him and said in Mark 4:38, Master, carest not that we perish? Don't you care for me? You know, the truth of the matter is God does care.
Praise the Lord.
You may be here tonight and going through a difficulty, going through a trial, and it seems like God's nowhere to be found. May I remind you that God has not forgotten you tonight.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
You see, the phrase, God remembered Noah, should be a great encouragement.
Amen.
To all of us.
Amen.
It should remind us all that God knows where we are in our lives. He sees all of our troubles. He knows all of our difficulties. He sees the pain that you are going through. He knows the hurt that you know, and he knows that no one else may know.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Oh, we come into church with that smile on our face, and we should.
Amen.
How you doing?
Fine.
Great. When in our lives there's so much turmoil and trouble and difficulty.
Amen.
God knows.
Amen.
God knows. You see, a man of faith trusts God's care.
Amen.
You know, God's care of, you know, I think God does some things to kind of remind us that he hasn't forgotten.
Amen.
Let me show you what I mean. God's care of Noah was shown, first of all, number one, by the wind he provided. Look at verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. Watch this. And God made a wind to pass over the earth.
Amen.
You see, God gives us some things to remind us that he has not forgotten us. And what he gave to Noah to remind him that he had forgotten is the wind.
Amen.
The wind. The wind, no doubt, would promote evaporation. We understand that. It would aid in the retreat of the waters. We do it today. We use wind and air to help dry things out.
Amen.
Wind is a major factor in drying the ground. After a heavy rain, farmers often look for that wind, a strong wind. Why? To help them their fields to dry out. Why? So they can get into the field with their machinery once again. When that wind came upon Noah's face, or through that ark, it assured Noah that God cared.
Amen.
He felt that wind and he knew the comfort of God's presence.
Amen.
Do you know, for the believer today, there is something that God gives us that he likens to the wind to remind us of his presence?
Amen.
His spirit.
Jesus
mentioned that in John chapter 3 and verse 8. Let me find it quickly. I was not planning on going there, but he said this: the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God is likened to the wind. And Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may be able, may abide with you forever. Understand, it's his indwelling Holy Spirit that assures us along this journey, our God cares.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
He cares.
Praise the Lord.
As you and I face trials and difficulties, it is the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit. But our God hasn't forgotten us.
Amen.
It's those times in his word where we're reading and our heart is aching and the Spirit of God speaks to our heart and tells us, he won't leave you.
Praise the Lord.
I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I am with you forever.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Noah felt that wind.
Hallelujah.
And he knew God didn't forget me.
Amen.
So God's care of Noah was seen by the wind he provided. There's another thing that God's care of Noah was shown by, and that was it, by the waters he prevented.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean by that? God remembers Noah, so what does he do? He sends this wind, but he doesn't stop there. We read in verse 1 at the end of it, and the waters assuaged the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. We're reading here that the waters began to assuage. That means they began to lower.
Amen.
We read that the fountains of the deep were stopped. We read that the rain from heaven was restrained. In other words, God knew exactly when enough was enough.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
God placed his hand out, if you will. He said, I'm going to stop it. That's enough. Do you know God does the same with us? He reminds us of his presence by 1 Corinthians 10:13 puts it this way. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. By that I mean, the Bible means that he will never allow anything in our lives that he does not equip us to bear.
Glory to God.
His grace is always sufficient. Sometimes you and I think, God has forgotten me. I can't take this anymore. I can't take this trial. I can't take this pressure. Yes, you can.
Amen.
With his grace.
Thanks to God. Amen.
He knows when to say, that's enough.
Yes, he does. Amen.
You see, a man of faith trust in God's care.
Amen.
How about you tonight? You feel like you're at a breaking point? You feel like, I can't take this, I can't do this anymore, I just can't understand. God has given you the wind of His Spirit to help you and encourage you along the way, and He prevents those trials by withholding what you and I can't handle.
Praise the Lord.
You may say, well, I wish God wouldn't trust me so much. But He does.
Amen.
So we see He trusted in God's care. That's what a man of faith does. There's a second thing I want you to notice. Not only does a man of faith trust in God's care, a man of faith waits on God's timing.
Amen.
Look at verse 4. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. The 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountain seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him in the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry.
Amen.
And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. After 5 months, think about it, 5 months there floating around, and the water rescinding, the ark finally rests.
Amen.
It rests, we are told, on the top of the mountains of Ararat. By the way, if you're wondering where that is, it's in Turkey. It is a mountain range, the mountains of Ararat, the highest peak on the mountain of Ararat. That range is 16,000 feet. So imagine all of a sudden, it's a miracle, by the way, that God would allow that huge ship to settle and rest evenly. Imagine if it rested on a peak. I didn't get into all that, but imagine that, and the tilting of it and the weight and all of that. But it rested right there on the mountains of Ararat. So here it is sitting there, but understand something. Get the timing here, that it would be another 3 months before the tops of the mountains were seen. Then it would be another 40 days before the window of the ark would be open, chapter 8 and verse 6. Then it would be another month before the ark cover would be removed, according to verse 13. Then another 2 months before they would get off the ark. So understand, from the time that the ark had rested to the time that Noah actually got off was 7 months. Would you have been a little stir crazy? You see, the faith virtue that we're seeing here in Noah's life is the faith virtue of something that you and I, and I'm going to speak for myself, me, struggle with.
Amen.
Patience.
Amen.
Waiting on God.
Amen.
See, I want everything done yesterday. And so do many of you. You see, faith waits on God's timing.
Amen.
Now notice two things about Noah's faith here. Number one is this. Noah waited despite common sense. Here's what I mean by that. We find here in verses 5 through 12 that Noah did something interesting. He sends out two birds. The first bird he sends out is a raven. Then afterwards he sends out a dove. Why is he doing that? He is doing that to check out the drying conditions. Trying to figure it out. A raven is a fierce bird that could survive rugged conditions. That's why he sent the raven out first. It would be a stronger type bird. It did not mind the slime and mud and so forth. And so when the raven finally didn't return, he knew that the conditions were getting better. And so then he sends out a different kind of bird to see if the conditions were good enough for mankind to live. And so he sends out the dove. But the dove kept coming back, kept returning. Until finally, after three times of Noah sending that dove out, it was 2 weeks, that dove finally didn't return. And so it made sense to Noah, hey, everything must be good. The raven's okay, and the dove's okay. So maybe we'll be able to get off this thing. But he didn't. He waited.
Amen.
He waited despite common sense. Then secondly, he waited despite what he saw. Look at verse 13 and 14. It came to pass in the 601st year, the first month, the first day of the month. I know I read this. I'm going to read it again anyway. The waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In verse 13, he finally removes his covering of the ark. Now he can finally see, and he sees that it's dry.
Amen.
There is land all around him. So understand, after he sends the raven, after he sends the dove, and common sense said, hey, you can get off the ark. And then everything he saw said, look, the ground is dry. Open up the side and get off. What does he do? He waits.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
He waits. See, what in the world is he waiting for? God's direction.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
God's direction. God's timing.
Amen.
Do you know that this is what a man of faith does?
Right.
No one likes to wait. Does anybody in here likes to wait? I want to laugh at you. No, I'm kidding. Nobody likes to wait. We look for the short line. We look for the fastest cashier. We look for the quickest way to get what we want. That's what we do. Our internet is never fast enough. Never is. That's why they keep raking in all this money from all of us. Because we can't wait! We don't like to wait. Do you know that one of the hardest things, even for a child of God, is to wait on God's timing? That's one of the hardest things that you and I will face. But God, over and over in His Word, says this to us, wait on me, wait till I give you the go-ahead. Wait on my timing. I'll let you know when I want you to move.
Amen.
Psalm 27 and verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Amen.
Psalm 37, 34, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Isaiah 40, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those that will do those things, run and not be weary, walk and shall not faint, are those that wait on God.
Amen.
One commentator wrote this, waiting is a common instrument of providential discipline for those to whom exceptional work has been appointed.
Amen.
Why do we wait? Because we want God's best.
Right.
You see, we must wait on God. We must wait on His timing. By the way, this thing over here, talk about testing your preacher. Every time I get up and I see it on the bulletin, well, no news yet. And I have a cheesy smile. But behind that smile is a person that does not like to wait.
Amen.
But God says, wait on me, wait on my timing. I have a perfect plan. Don't get ahead of me. Wait on God's timing, by the way, for marriage, young person. Some people have the idea, well, I went to school, I graduated, went to college, and graduated, therefore, I'm ready to be married. Well, maybe you are, but the question is God ready for you to be married?
Amen.
Sometimes it's God's will for people not to be married. I'm just saying.
You should just follow God's will. Wait on God. Don't get ahead of him. Don't do something you should not do because you are impatient. Wait on the Lord.
Amen.
We ought to wait on him for ministry as well.
Amen.
Usually it's about the second semester of a freshman in Bible college that they are ready to pastor the biggest church in the world. And boy, they can do it better than anybody else.
They know everything. They got it all down. After all, they had Bible doctrines 1 and 2.
Amen.
Now we laugh, but it's true. They had this idea. I can do it. I am ready. I am ready.
Let God decide that.
Right.
You know, sometimes we think we're ready more than God knows we're not. God knows.
He knows when we're ready. For every decision that you and I make, what do we have to do? We have to wait on God. Sometimes common sense says, make this decision. Sometimes what we see says, make this decision. Sometimes circumstances and people pressure us to make a decision.
And we rush
right into
doing something because of the pressure of others. We rush to our destination. I need help here. Do you? I need help here. I do.
I know what I want to get done for God. And I try to spiritualize a thing. I want to do some things for God, so let's go right now.
But God says to me, chill out, my friend. I got this covered.
Amen.
I can do this a lot better than you can. Matter of fact, he can even do it without me.
That's right.
And he tells me, just wait. Before you make a decision, before you move, before you go by what you see, before you go by what makes common sense, wait until you hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Amen.
You say, I'm not sure what to do. Then get alone with God. Find some corner. Get on your face and talk to God and wait on the voice of God to lead you.
That's right.
And if he doesn't say anything, then don't go.
Right.
That's what Noah did.
Amen.
I mean, months and months, here it is. The ark is stopped. It's here on land. He's seeing everything that says, now's the time.
But he doesn't move.
Amen.
He waits.
Right.
He's a man of faith.
Amen.
One commentator wrote this, patience will be rewarded in time. And that's what a man of God does. He waits on God's timing.
Amen.
So Noah, number one, and I'll be done on this third one, he trusted in God's care. He knew God knew who he was. He waited on God's timing. And then thirdly, he moved at God's bidding. Again, look at verse 14. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried, and God spake unto Noah, saying, here it is, finally God speaks.
Amen.
After all that time being there, nothing is heard, and Noah doesn't know what to do. He's seeing things. Common sense cries out to do something.
And now God finally says, okay. Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Notice this, that they may breed abundantly in the earth. Watch this, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth.
Amen.
Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. Noah finally hears from God. And God says, go. Breed abundantly. Watch this. Notice the phrasing. And be fruitful. Do you know what God wants out of your life and my life? He wants to use us.
Amen.
To be fruitful.
Right.
He wants to use us to produce fruit in this world. And according to John chapter 15, that is how God is glorified, that we produce fruit in this world.
Amen.
But understand that fruit that God wants to produce through us
will only be accomplished for people of faith.
Amen.
We do things in His timing.
That's right.
Not in our own.
That's right.
That's how the most fruit will be produced. I wonder sometimes if, when this is all said and done, and I get before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord might say to me, you know, I had so much more, but boy, you were just plowing away. And you didn't even stop and listen. I would have done a lot more. Yeah, I used to, but a lot more would have been done if you trusted me. If you realize I care, I see what's going on. I know what's happening in this world.
Amen.
And you waited for me to tell you to move.
Amen.
Noah was a man of faith.
Amen.
And I ask us tonight, are we? I like this, God's way is always the best way.
Amen.
God's way is always the way that produces the most fruit. And God's way is always the way that brings Him the most glory.
Amen.
And it's always the way of faith.
That's right.
I ask you tonight, are you a person of faith?
Amen.
Are you trusting in God's care that He hasn't forgotten you? Are you waiting on His timing? Are you moving at His bidding? Does our faith match up to the standards, if you will, of Noah? I look at those three. I told you it was a simple message tonight. I look at those things are so mentally simple.
Right.
I know that. Trust in God's care. Wait on God's timing.
Amen.
Move at God's bidding. Now,
right.
I know. Yeah, I know it. But put the squeeze on me a little bit, a trial. And all of a sudden, all that stuff can so easily fall apart. We must be a church that walks by faith.
Amen.
We must be individuals
Amen.
That trust God by faith.
Amen.
Let's pray together.